Welcome to another round of Boardroom or Miro Board. Today we talk retrospectives with Agile coach Maria. Let's go. First question. You've spent 2 hours in a team retro, but the only input you've heard is Dave's. Boardroom or Miro Board?
Boardroom. In Miro, Dave can't hog the space because everyone can add thoughts anonymously, online, at the same time.
Correct. Next. You need the team to act on feedback fast, so you turn all those retro notes into Jira tasks instantly.
Miro all the way. And I can assign those tasks to teammates.
You're nailing this. Now, you see hundreds of sticky notes from the retro. A real mess. But you organize them into 5 themes in just seconds.
Miro, I basically get back an entire hour when I use its AI tools for clustering.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people running actually enjoyable and actionable retros in Miro. Get your first 3 boards free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Good Old Hockey Podcast. This is episode number 21. Our podcast can now legally buy beer. We got some good stuff for you guys coming in this week. I mean, trade deadline is on Friday. So hopefully next episode, we'll probably have some even more stuff to talk about, but we're going to get into that a little bit later, just about, all the names that are kind of high on the, on the list right now in terms of getting shipped off. So we will see how that pans out. But before we get into that, Gally, how was your weekend? Haven't talked to you all week. What'd you do?
Dude, my weekend was busy. Had some family in town. My parents came into town.
That's right.
So was doing lots of stuff with them. Went skiing on Saturday. Snow is so dang good. Yeah. You see that thing?
Yeah, that's a good catch. We're trying to be clean. You got it. I mean, it's a minute in, but we're trying to be clean within the first 5 minutes because something YouTube does. But that was a good catch, Gally. Keep going.
Yeah. So the snow is pretty dang awesome.
Yeah. Bogus
Basin has gotten like 30 inches in the past 5 days, I think. So, okay. It has just been nuking up there. So it was some kick ass snow. And then, Sunday, I just had a hockey game, went to brunch, went to dinner. It was a good time. I almost hurt myself in the hockey game. I like tweaked something in my knee, twisted it all wrong. But hopefully we won't be on the IR soon, because we got playoffs coming up this Sunday.
Yeah.
For my five team beer league. So pretty stoked for that. But
four.
Four out of the five. So we qualified. We were
nice.
Four of the five best teams. I think we were actually 4th seed. But you know, we're defending champions. We wait till the playoffs to get things fired up. So pretty stoked for that next week. But if we do win that game, I'm gonna miss the championship, which really sucks.
Oh, that's right. It's here in Calgary.
Yeah, but still stoked for that too. Especially Calgary's starting to heat up a little bit. But how was your weekend?
Pretty good, pretty good. Let's see, I always forget what I do on the weekend. It's been I don't know, I've just been like not like a loser. I feel like a loser sometimes, but it's just like, I don't know, you get to that age where a lot of your friends, I know you've like experiences, a lot of your friends move away, and it's like there's a very select few that are here. And I don't know, what did we do Friday? We went bowling, which is actually pretty fun.
Hell yeah.
I suck at bowling. I
really
think there was, what was it, I think it was 4 frames, so 8 goes where I gutter balled every single one of them.
I didn't know that you were that.
Yeah. Well, I was trying to do this, you know, like the two hand like spin technique where you're like, you know, I've been trying to use that more and I just couldn't dial it in. I kept just too much spin on it and I couldn't get it straight. So, or I'd like try to correct it and it'd go right. And like, you know, in golf, when you try to play your slice, I was trying to do that, but it wasn't curving. It just went straight into the gutter. And I was like, all right, this game sucks. I love bowling, but I hate it too, because it's just back and forth of that.
Yeah, dude. But, bowling's a great like chilling, drinking with people game. I love bowling. I'm decent at it. I have some games where I really, really do damn good. And
yeah,
this year I actually scored a ham bone, which is 4 strikes in a row, which I'm nothing crazy, but scoring a ham bone, I'm like, all right, I gotta boast about that. I scored like a 187 that game. It was a wild game, but usually I'm mediocre to good.
Yeah. Yeah. Usually I can break 100. I didn't think I cracked 100 at all on Friday. It was a rough night.
Four gutter belts to do that.
Bowling, I don't know. Bowling's just a good, just hang out, drink. You know, it's never really too super expensive either. I went to Emerald Lanes.
Yeah.
Less than $5. So it's always a good deal. But yeah, that was the extent of my weekend. We're had work today. Fucking crazy. Just ready to start the week.
But same here, man.
That being said, go ahead and kick it off for us with our 3 stars of the week. Is this NHL's or is this one you came up with?
Yeah, this is the NHL's 3 stars of the week. We can come up with our own 3 stars in the future. Yeah. I think I said that last podcast, but just basing off that.
It's how can we compete? Like, the NHL's not wrong in those 3 people.
Yeah.
You can probably change the order here and there, but.
Yeah, especially with this week's order, and we'll get into that. But rounding out the 3 stars of the week, number 1 went to Roman Josi. Number 2 went to Brandon Montour. And number 3 went to Josh Morrissey. So 3 defensemen for the top 3 stars of the week, which is, I feel like that doesn't happen a lot. But hey, the NHL, I feel like we're past the time of defensemen being low scoring. And oh my goodness, these 3 players scored quite a bit this week. We can just start off with the first star, Roman Josi. He had 3 games played, 3 goals and 4 assists, which is 7 points in 3 games, which is pretty crazy.
Yeah.
He's been one of the biggest parts of the 8 game win streak for the Predators right now, which they are looking pretty nasty. And as a Calgary Flames fan, we're itching and we're scratching to get into that last playoff spot, and they're making it pretty tough for us. So kind of hope they start losing. So because I think our management's like, we got to make the playoffs right now. Of course, I don't think we're really devoted to the rebuild, but Flames are on a 5-game win streak, to be fair. So they're playing hot, and they got the best goalie in the league at the moment. Debatable. I know some people might come at me for that, but another crazy stat about the number 1 star, Roman Josi, is he had the best point per game last week out of the whole league, which is pretty impressive. Over 2 points per game is pretty sweet, but it's surprising he beat out players like McDavid, Kucherov, those point getters. You want to add anything on Josi?
Yeah, so I saw this report or graphic. So what was it when the Knights were at, or not the Knights, when the Preds were in Vegas, they wanted to go out and see U2 play at the Sphere in Vegas. Coach, they got them. They were like, nope, you guys aren't going, focus on hockey. And they've been 8-0 since. So you know what? Maybe that lit a fire under their ass and they're like, yeah, we got to take this serious, which I don't know. What do you think about that? Like, what if you were in the NHL and a coach was like, yeah, no, you guys can't go see this concert. I know you guys are in Vegas. Maybe you have a day off, but what's your...
I think with especially the Predators situation right now, they're kind of a bubble team right on the playoffs. I'd probably say that they made that right decision saying don't go to the concert, especially in Vegas. Vegas is a pretty notorious place for letting loose and... NHL, NFL, NBA, MLB. I feel like that's a one city you probably don't want your players to go out on, especially if it's before a game or after a game. I agree with it just because, that in terms of where the Predators sit in the standings, is probably the biggest reason. I think, maybe if they were at the top dominating, I feel like the coaching staff doesn't have as much of a say. Yeah. But holy shit, 8-0 after that. I did see that too, and I saw it, but I was like, that's funny. I think it's good to that U2 concert, but
U2.
Hey, it worked out for the Preds, so good on the coaching staff for that.
Yeah, I don't think it's a bad thing. Cause like, I mean, I don't know, going as like a group, you know, team building. Yeah. You could use it as like, yeah, this is good. You know, team building, or they're all hanging out with each other, build chemistry. But I don't know, during the season, it's just rough. Like if that was off season, whatever, they wouldn't care. But
oh yeah, 100%.
Like you said, if they're chasing for that playoff spot, there's no real time to take a break. You can take a break once you've won the Stanley Cup. Till then, it's kind of grind session.
Yeah, especially towards the end of the season. I feel like that's the right call. And yep. You got to get your guys dialed in. I mean, it was the same shit when I was playing, you know, my coaches wouldn't let us go to the pool and stuff. And as a kid, it was like, come on, this hotel has a pool.
Yeah.
Come on, we got to go. I mean, it's,
yeah.
I know in California, pools are a little more frequent, but in Montana, it was like, dude, this hotel has a pool. Like, let's go.
Yeah. That's what I was thinking. I was like, damn, like, yeah, I could see that. I remember we'd get like, I mean, after the tournament, whatever, it's whatever. But usually the first couple nights, it was always like be in bed by 9, or at least be in your hotel room by 9. But if you guys want to go dinner, go something like that, team building, that's a little bit different. But I feel like a YouTube concert in Vegas is a different story.
The bunch of adult grown men.
Yeah, especially in Vegas. Like, that's what one thing I feel like the Knights kind of have to their advantage is, you know, they can be disciplined, or at least, I don't know, though. It'd be tough for me. If I was an NHL player living in Vegas, like, that would be bad. I would get into a lot of trouble, I feel like. So for these, like, away teams where these guys are coming in for the night, like, I don't know. Vegas definitely has that effect where they could go out the night before, not tell the coaches or anything, but they'll feel it the next day. So I feel like the Knights kind of have a little bit of a advantage over their competitors, but
100%. Well, I feel like we've been talking about Mignosi and the Predators for a while, so we'll hop into the second star. I know you're a big fan of the Panthers, but Brandon Montour, he had the second star of the week, 3 games played, 2 goals, 4 assists, so solid 6 points, 2 points per game, which is another high-scoring defenseman. Panthers were also 3-0 last week, so he had a big part of that. That win streak. Panthers are looking dangerous, man. I think they're right now, they're at the top of the Atlantic. I mean, shit, they are looking like they're gonna do another run in the playoffs. So
yeah,
I guess that kind of teases my question off to you, like, how far do you think the Panthers are gonna go in the playoffs? And, you know, could you potentially see them going back to the Stanley Cup final? Because that's no easy feat to do that, you know.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, well, one, I will say the Panthers are a freaking fun team to watch just with how they play. And, you know, they're not like the Flyers in the 70s, but they kind of remind me of the Broad Street Bullies. They're just, you know, little pests and you hate playing them because of it. And like, I don't know, I see comments all the time of, I mean, Tkachuk works perfectly in that team, but
yeah.
I mean, it's not like it's just him either, though. It's like the entire team is like that. And I listened to Sam Reinhart's interview on Spit and Chicklets this weekend. And he said the same thing, like how they, you know, they're just a physical group of players. And I think that's what you need to get to the Stanley Cup playoffs for sure. But in order to get that run like they had last year, they need playoff Bob back. And
yeah,
not that he's been playing bad, but if he can get in that groove again and just whatever they were feeding him in the locker room, if he can, I mean, I don't know what he was on last year. He was on something, but if he doesn't have another performance like that, it's going to be tough. And I feel like that's, you need a hot goaltender. That's what it is.
100%. And I just feel like it's also going to come down to their first matchup as well. Like, I mean, you know, they could potentially play the Lightning. I mean, if they become the first seed in the East, they could potentially play which they are the first seed in the East right now.
Yeah.
They'd either play like the Lightning, Red Wings, which I feel like they'd probably cruise past the Red Wings pretty easily.
Yeah.
But I mean, the Lightning, I mean, those are their rivals. I feel like that's a really tough first round matchup for them.
Yeah.
And I don't think it would be, I mean, I could see that going to, you know, 6 or 7 games easily.
Yeah.
And it's those two teams, I think that's kind of a rivalry that's been created in the past, you know, 10-15 years, and it's a pretty sweet two teams that are, you know, pretty evenly matched nowadays. I feel like the Panthers had always been lacking behind, but now they're back up to speed, and it's a pretty fun rivalry to watch, in my opinion.
Yeah, I agree with that. I also think that second round is going to be interesting as well, because if everything stays the same, they'd be playing either Boston or Toronto.
Yeah.
The rivalries too. I mean, especially Boston, if I'd be nervous as the Panthers to be playing Boston again, because I mean, yeah, you got the best of them last year, but I mean, we all saw that series and that could have gone either way. A lot of those games, especially those like elimination games. So I would be scared to play the Bruins, Maple Leafs. Fuck them. You could sweep them again.
I know, dude, the Bruins are going to be, I mean, dude, the Bruins, I feel like are going to be coming for blood in the playoffs because they got out early last year. They still have a really good team. A lot of their core is still there. That was there last year. So I think they're pretty disappointed. They could give a shit about the regular season right now. So I feel like it's like that kind of mentality. And the Eastern Conference is such a toss up for who's going to go, you know, to the Cup. I feel like the West, it's slimming down to like two or three teams.
Yeah.
I'd say it still is pretty wide open in the West too, but the East Coast, the Eastern Conference is like, who the fuck's going to make it, you know?
Yeah. You don't know. Yeah.
Yeah. But I mean, Panthers looking good. Brandon Montour looking even better. So just to round out our three stars of the week, Josh Morrissey. He had 4 games played, 7 points, 1 goal, 6 assists. Winnipeg's currently first in the Central Division, which I do not think anyone had that predicted. I mean, they are very close with both Dallas and Colorado, I think within 4 points of each other. I mean, they are tied with Dallas right now for first. But I mean, it's going to be pretty interesting to see who comes out on first place in that division. And, you know, Winnipeg has a strong team. Hellebuck being back there is really been carrying their team this year. But I guess my question, I mean, who do you think is going to win the Central Division?
That one's tough. I mean, personally, I want Dallas to win. I don't really care for Winnipeg all that much. Dallas has been, man, they've had a pretty rough the past, what, 4 years? Went to the final in 2020, but, or no.
Yeah.
Yeah, they did. Against Lightning. But that Central Division is tough, I think. Especially, I mean, the Avalanche, that's a great team.
Yeah.
And they won the Cup 2 years ago. So that whole Central Division is really tough. I'm going to put my money on Dallas, though. Not actual money. I don't have any, but if I did, I'd put it on Dallas.
You know, I think out of the 3 teams, I mean, those 3 teams have such good goalies. I mean, Georgiev, fucking however the fuck you say it, I always mess his name up. Georgiev, Ottinger, and Hellebuck. I think it's just going to come down to who has the best goalie to end the season with those. Yeah. I'm going to go ahead and bold prediction. I think the Jets are going to take that division, though, just because I do think one of the less talked about trades that happened, Sean Monahan getting added to the Jets is such, I think since he's played, he's been about a goal per game, 100%. I think more than a goal per game. Yeah. So he's been lighting it up for the Jets. He's a great addition. I mean, he's somewhat of an old player, but he's still got it. He's got a good goal scoring touch. When he was on the Flames, I mean, he was excellent. He had many 30 plus goal seasons, and just for the Jets to acquire a player like that and him to make a difference right away, I think that's going to boost them into the playoffs pretty well. As long as things keep going right, I think the Jets are a sleeper to win that division. And I don't think anyone had that happening. I mean, 2 powerhouses, Colorado and Dallas. I mean, those are pretty hard teams to beat out. Yep. So we'll see how that finishes. But holy shit, Central Division is on fire this year.
No, they are. Last thing about Winnipeg, it's tough for them because like last year, they were a wild card team and they played the freaking Knights who won the Cup. So it's tough to I feel bad for teams like that where, you know, you run into just a really hot team in the playoffs, but ultimately that's what it comes down to. So if they can, you know, secure that one seed, we'll see who they play. But yeah, I think they have a good shot at winning the Central. But
yeah. And last thing on Winnipeg too, it's, I know we talked about Winnipeg, possibly their franchise being in jeopardy, but Gary Bettman came out and said that Winnipeg has a good fan base, good hockey there, good hockey city. So yeah, glad to hear that. I think Canadians were happy to hear that. And also, you know, Winnipeg was happy to hear that, that Bettman actually backed up a Canadian team, which you don't see too often. So that's good for Winnipeg. I'd hate to see them leave the league. That'd be super shitty. So
yeah, they already came back. Don't take them away.
I know, for real.
I think, okay, actual last thing. I think it's tough for Canadian fans to go to games because of the economy, and it's just pricey. So it's tough to, you know, I mean, yeah, their ticket sales maybe weren't that good, especially beginning of the year and following. But I think it's probably just getting pricey. And, but I mean, shit, if you got that good of a team, you guys better show out at least. But
dude, I mean, Calgary, even, I mean, those tickets I got for the game, you know, coming up in a couple weeks, I mean, shit, dude, we're at the top of the second bowl, and they were like $166 each after taxes and stuff, and all the fees, which is crazy. So, I mean, nosebleeds are like $100 in Canada. I mean, it's obviously the most popular sport there. A lot of cities like Winnipeg or Calgary or Edmonton, you know, those are the only professional sports team in the city besides CFL teams. So,
yeah,
it's going to be, I mean, yeah, I think it's tough to go to those games as a Canadian, especially in the economy that they're in right now. So hopefully their economy gets better, because people want to go to fucking hockey games up there.
Well, yeah, for sure. Yeah. We'll see. All right. Well, let's jump into Coast to Coast. It's our segment where we just break down all the news that's happened within the last week. This one, though, is today. Lindy Ruff of the New Jersey Devils was fired today. I think in part by Frank Tank's meltdown that he had. I know Such and Wild, Zach and Diego talks about it. But yeah, he finally got fired today. I mean, they're what, 8 points out of the playoffs. They're far behind. And I honestly don't know what happened to them this year. Last year, they seemed like they were such an up-and-coming team. And then this year, I mean, I know what, Jack Hughes missed a bunch of games. Dougie Hamilton, he hasn't been there since November. So I don't know. What do you think about the Devils? Like, do you think this is going to be a turning point for them?
See, I just feel like the Eastern Conference is hard right now. I mean, being 8 points, I mean, one, I feel like this is the biggest surprise in a way for the whole NHL. I mean, the Devils were slated to win their division, be really good, go back to the playoffs. They had a young core. I know the one thing we've been talking about is goaltending with them. And we said that at the beginning of the season, like if the goaltending's not there, they're going to sink. And that's exactly what happened. I do feel bad for Lindy Ruff, because he was a Jack Adams finalist as coach of the year last year. So that's something that's, I feel like you don't see very often. Daryl Sutter, though, I mean, that happened with the Calgary Flames coach last year. He was a final. I think he won the Jack Adams the year before, and they canned him the next year. So it's tough for Lindy Ruff. I feel like he's not too successful of a coach. He only has a handful of playoff wins with all the teams he's coached with. But yeah, I mean, in a way, it's tough for him too, because like your best player is missing a lot of games. Dougie Hamilton, one of their best defensemen, hasn't even suited up since November too. That's another aspect no one's really talking about. So, but on top of that, I mean, you got a very young team. I mean, a lot of your really good players are below the age of 25. So it's a lot of pressure on that young roster. But it's tough for Lindy Ruff. I mean, when you got a roster that's that good and you're underperforming like that, there's got to be some sort of shakeup, because I mean, the playoffs are looking pretty slim, the chances are, for them to make the playoffs. So, but who knows? If I were to say, is this the turning point? I don't think so. I think the Devils are probably going to still miss the playoffs. But I could totally be wrong. They could go on a heater for the rest of the season. And and make it in. And I think that's kind of best case scenario for the Devils. It's probably what their management is looking to do too, is try to create some sort of spark, because they've been looking too good the whole season, you know?
Yeah, I don't think that they're going to make the playoffs this year just because of, I think it's too late, honestly. But with a lot of these teams that we've seen make these head coach firings, how are the Kings now? Because they fired Tom McClellan not too long ago, and I don't know if they've picked up at all, but Oilers are a big one. First one yes. that comes to mind. How their season kind of turned around just with that firing of the coach. So it may not set up so much success this season, but we'll see next season. Maybe they can get back to the top, because yeah, they do have a lot of, you know, good young players and young talent. Like Jack Hughes is, you know, one of the faces of the NHL, or will be here soon. But yeah,
on top of that, you got Simon Nemec, you got Luke Hughes, Nico Hischier, Jesper Bratt. You got a lot of good talented players on there. I think, you know, the last piece that they're missing is a goalie. And I know I'm going to get into this later, but I mean, they were really close to getting Jacob Markstrom. If they got Jacob Markstrom, that would have been insane. But also, I mean, 8 points out of the playoffs in a tough conference right now. I mean, they might have given up a lot for Jacob Markstrom and gotten, you know, nothing really out of it if they miss the playoffs. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see what happens, but I mean, right now they're even behind the Capitals in terms of points. So, and Islanders. So it's not looking too hot necessarily, but, there's definitely still a chance. So
yeah,
their players are going to have to step up. I mean, it's not just going to be on their goalie. Their offense is going to really have to step up, and yeah, it's an interesting story, but I'd say they're not going to make the playoffs. So
I don't either. Anyone listening, I forgot to mention this in the beginning, but we want you guys to be part of this conversation with us. Throw what you think down in the comments. Seriously, we'll respond to them, or even bring them up in another podcast like next week. Just join in with us. Let us know what you think down in the comments, just with, you know, that question in general. Like, is Lindy Ruff, is this a turning point for the Devils? Let us know. But up next, Kuznetsov. Evgeny Kuznetsov of the Washington Capitals. Well, I mean, I didn't know that he was in the player program, but I did see he got sent down to waivers, and there was just some kind of confusion. But I don't know. What do you think about this whole?
Well, I think that a lot of teams probably would have picked him up. But he carries a $7.8 million cap hit per year. So that's a pretty tough cap hit to take on. Nor is he having a very good season that a team would trade for him.
Yeah.
You know, I know that video came out, that whole cocaine video of him came out, whatever, a couple years ago, maybe. But since then, it's just kind of tarnished his reputation. I've seen a lot of people say he's not going to play in the NHL again. But I do think that he's a very good NHL player when he's playing good. I mean, he's, throughout his whole career, he's 0.79 point per game. So that's pretty solid, to be honest. I mean, that's averaging, you know, around 50, 60 points a year. And I think he's going to make a difference wherever he goes. So be interesting to see what happens. I don't know if it's going to happen this offseason just because he carries such a big cap hit, but potentially the next offseason. I could see the Capitals potentially buying Kuznetsov out. I don't know enough details to know what happened with the Capitals and him, but there obviously was, the Capitals don't want anything to do with him, or vice versa. And it's going to be interesting. I've seen a lot of reports that he may even go back to the KHL too. So.
Damn. Yeah. Well, we hope, I mean, I feel like we've had so many of these players just disappear off to the player program. Do we know anything about Patrick Laine yet, or any reports on that?
Yeah. I don't think there's any sort of, I haven't heard any news about Patrick Laine since it happened.
Yeah.
That's just tough, man. I mean, one for Blue Jackets organization, their fans, their team. That's a tough pill to swallow. But also, I mean, Patrick Laine, I mean, I hope he's doing okay. I mean, he's a very good young NHL player that has a lot of potential still, I think. Yeah. And I hope he can get past whatever he is going through right now. And I hope he comes back and gets to that 40 plus goal mark season like he has in his past. So it's gonna be interesting to see what happens with Kuznetsov, because I mean, he's still a very talented player, and I think any team would like to have him. But also, you know, off ice issues, I feel like that might also anchor him.
Yeah.
So
no, it for sure does. Yeah. No, I agree. All right. Well, we wish the best to him, just in all of his endeavors and, you know, what's ever going on. But next topic here, the main event, UFC 200 and whatever, not really, but, I know this was pretty hyped up. I honestly, I don't know about you, but I didn't know if, Ryan Reeves and Matt Rempe, or however the fuck you say his name, I got some shit for it, but, that they were going to fight, and you know, they did. Did you see that fight?
Yeah. I was actually watching that game live, and
were you?
I was like, dude, this is going to happen. And it didn't happen until the third period. I was pretty surprised about that, yeah. But yeah, dude, I was stoked. I think it's pretty crazy that Reeves said that was like one of the best fights he's ever had in his career in terms of our best fighters he's fought in his whole career. I mean, he's been a pretty prominent NHL fighter and tough guy throughout the past 10, 15 years. So for Ryan Reeves to say that about, you know, a 21-year-old, that says a lot. And I think I saw Biz say something on Spit and Chicklets about it. Like he has the title of the tough guy in the NHL right now. And I think he's pissing off a lot of tough guys, and they're going to want to fight him. So I was really looking forward to that Reeves fight. And damn, man, it didn't disappoint. It was a hell of a fight.
Yeah, no, it was. It was nothing like, I mean, it wasn't any like fight of the year candidacy, but with just those two names, like Ryan Reeves, and they had, I mean, he had hyped it up in the media too beforehand, kind of giving him his flowers and, you know, just talking about, we'll see if it happens. And it did. But yeah, I think, I mean, I've seen a lot of this stuff. I think we kind of talked about it before, but just about how it's interesting that it's causing controversy, just Matt Rempe in general, and his fighting and just like what it is. And I don't know, some people are saying that it just doesn't belong in the game anymore. I completely disagree. I think fighting is, like you said earlier, it's one of the things that differentiates our sport versus everything else. But ultimately, it's a policing for one, but also I think it's the crowd involved. But I think the biggest thing is protecting players, because I mean, even if Matt Rempe were to go after someone, lay this big ass hit, he has to face someone he knows he's going to get in a fight, and that should never leave the game, you know? I mean, in football, they can go out there and kill each other, but there's no real consequence, I would say, if you go out and lay out some star player theirs. Well, you might get in a little scruff afterwards, but they're going to break it up, and they've got helmets on.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I think the one thing that like worries me about Matt Rempe is, dude, he looks beat up. I'm like worried for him. I mean, especially that Reeves fight. I was like, dude, is he gonna like not get off the ice if he gets knocked out? Because like, he's got two huge black eyes. I mean, he's been in a handful of fights in the past couple weeks. I mean, that guy's got to be concussed. His head's got to be hurting. I mean, and not only that, I mean, all his fights, he's laying punches. People are laying punches on him. So
his knuckles are probably fucked.
Yeah. And I think the Rangers are very, very grateful, because, I mean, they have a lot of skilled players on their team. But, I mean, him being on the ice on their team, he's such an X factor for that team. And, I mean, he definitely brings an intimidation factor. I think that's going to continue. I mean, being 6'8" and being such a scrapper that is like,
he's also physical.
Crazy.
Like his forechecking, I mean, I'm seeing videos and watching him. He's laying the body too on the forecheck. He's not just some pylon out there just ready to fight anyone, which I feel like a lot of these fighters have been in the past, but he's a good asset for them. And yeah, I mean, I think the game needs that. And also, like, I don't know, I feel like everyone wants to go out there and be McDavid or Bedard, but you need to know that some people just have a role that they're going to get their way to the league by fighting.
Yeah.
And we've seen, I mean, I think that's what Reeves honestly did in the beginning, was his notorious fighting self and just being physical brings a good aspect to the team. So I like
that. Yeah, 100%. So good for the sport, I think.
I agree. And it's honestly cool how much attention he's getting and how much media has been around it. And especially that picture of him at practice with him looking like Sloth. I think it's hilarious. And it's just, I don't know. He's definitely a tough guy, tough kid. But yeah.
Yeah. Tough guy of the year so far.
Yeah. Oh yeah. But yeah, let us know in the comments again about that. Just what you think about ramp. Should hockey, you know, still be including fighting? Should they ban it? Should they not? We want to know what you guys think. Spark a conversation with you guys. But next, we got a little contract signing for Elias Pettersson. Man, he signed for 8 years, $92.8 million. That's $11.6 mil a year, which he's a great player. He deserves it. But damn, I don't know. What did you think about that?
Yeah, I feel like Vancouver is pretty tight on cap space. But I think that's a solid signing for the Canucks. I know there's a lot of talk around Elias Pettersson, whether he's going to be traded, if this deal would even go off. I think the Canucks' success this year, though, really showed that he's part of their core group, but also he's going to stay and wants to resign. You know, on the contrary, I think that if the Canucks didn't have as good of a year as they did this year, I think he's out of there. I think the Canucks might have blown up their team. But the fact that they came together and are having one of the best years the Canucks have ever had in their franchise history.
Yeah.
And clear front runners for the Pacific Division. I mean, I think that was a big factor into Pettersson re-signing. But not only that, I mean, he's going to be their center for the next 8 years. Their first line center. And, you know, I feel like he's gelled very well with his line mates. And, I think that's a solid signing by the Canucks, and they're going to be a good team for, you know, the next decade or so with the group that they have there right now. And the Canucks are looking good. So I don't know, what's your take on that signing?
Yeah, it's scary, but you kind of have to pay him that, and if you want to keep him around, I'm just like thinking about the Devils and, you know, how much success they had last year. And then, you know, this year they're not, but I feel like Vancouver's a little bit different. Thatcher Demko, I feel like, is a pretty good goalie. I wouldn't say that they have the similar struggles that the Devils will have in the future. I feel like their core is like at a good age where they, you know, are where they're at. I mean, they've got a great team around them. So overall, I think it was a good signing. I hope they can do something in the playoffs this year. I don't want to see the Knights up there. I would love to see Vancouver and Edmonton play in a series at some point. Hopefully.
Yeah.
I don't know if it could happen third round. Second round would be cool.
I think it would happen second round, I want to say. But
yeah.
I went to Flames and Oilers series to go off. That would be sweet,
dude, man. Oh my God. That would be so awesome. Yeah. That would be fun. But before we move into trade talk, or trade deadline talk, I don't know if you saw this. I'm sure you did, but Connor Bedard who did he play? He was getting the Crosby treatment. He was getting slashed. He was getting pissed off. And it was funny to see that, because it reminded me exactly of Sidney Crosby and how you had said that. But he takes like a, it's one of those slashes where I know exactly what it hit because it's happened to me. Like right on the freaking whatever bone this is. I'm not a doctor, but like right on the point where there's an elbow pad in the glove and he got hit there. I saw him say in an interview though, that like it was a love tap, but it just got him right in the worst spot possible.
Yeah.
But it was a little bit of a cheap shot. I'm not going to lie about that, but I don't know. I thought it's kind of interesting that he's getting the same kind of treatment, just getting a little roughed up. These older players seeing that. And all that
stuff. Yeah. He might start getting feisty in the next couple of years. Cause I know Crosby was kind of, I think he got fed up with it. Crosby's dropped the gloves plenty of times. I could see Bedard doing that. Bedard is just a little bit smaller than Crosby though. I mean, Crosby's like a fucking hobbit, dude. I mean, he's somewhat small, but he is a thick guy. Yeah. I mean, in terms of just his structure. So definitely someone that's a seasoned vet in the NHL, but Bedard definitely has some room to grow before he drops the gloves or wants to get into anything. I mean, McDavid, I feel like McDavid's still a little bit slender. I don't think he's really built out yet. So it's going to be interesting to see if he goes the Crosby and McKinnon route or the McDavid route. So
we'll see. But all right, let's get into it. As a Flames fan, we've been talking about this. Tanev, what happened?
Yeah, Chris Tanev, traded to the Stars for a second round pick. Artem Grushnikov was the defenseman prospect that got traded back as well, and a conditional fourth rounder. So I personally think the Flames could have got a little bit bigger of a haul. I know there was a talk with the Oilers. The Oilers were actually going to send a first round draft pick to the Flames. A lot of the trades that were reportedly sent to the Flames had another expiring contract on the trade as well. So I feel like the Flames didn't want to pick up any of that. With the Dallas and Calgary trade, though, I think it's still somewhat of a win for Calgary. It's going to be interesting to see how that defenseman turns out. He's a second round pick. So when you look at it, it's like 2 second rounds and a fourth conditional. Yeah. But I'd grade it, for the Stars, they're getting, steal of that trade so far.
Yeah.
It's going to be interesting down the road what comes out of this trade. But to just add a Chris Tanev to your team, that's bolstering your defense like no other. Yeah. And leadership. I mean, Chris Tanev is someone the Flames players have looked up to immensely. And for him to just hop on a team like Dallas, who's having a lot of success right now, it's going to be a very key factor going into the playoffs. So if I were to grade this trade, I'd probably give the Flames a B-, and then the Stars probably A or A+. I mean, they got an excellent player for not too much.
Yeah. I think the Stars, I mean, it's like, that's a tough, or the, I guess the hard part about grading trades is the long-term success out of it. Obviously the Stars for right now is, I mean, it could be a rental. We don't know if he's going to resign, but, just having a good defenseman like that, building your team around for probably a good playoff push.
Yeah.
It's just tough because, like, you don't really know what those picks are going to look like. If it turns out to be a superstar at that pick from the Stars, then yeah, they won that. But yeah, I think looking at it, I don't think the Flames probably could have got a little bit out of it, but it's just tough for some of those rentals to really negotiate and be like, we want more.
Yeah, and I think what the Flames wanted to do is not take on another older player that has, a long contract or any expiring contracts. So, I think that was kind of their goal to start with. And Dallas probably had the best return in terms of just prospects and picks. And not to mention, Chris Tanev's 34 years old, expiring contract. I mean, he was probably not going to re-sign with the Flames, so... the fact that they were able to ship him away for a decent prospect, second and fourth, I mean, it's good work. And I think Craig Conroy's he's teetering the line. I feel like the Flames GMs in the past have not really gone too hard when it comes to trading some of their star players, but he's going to do that. And that brings me right into Noah Hanifin talk. Noah Hanifin, I mean, he's another defenseman that will be traded by the trade deadline. It's just a matter of when exactly, but when and where. But I know the Lightning, Panthers, and Bruins are the front runners. I think he's going to go to one of those three teams. But if you were to guess, who's going to land Hanifin?
Selfishly, I'd love for the I wouldn't proclaim myself as a Panthers fan. I've just hopped on their bandwagon these past 2 years. But I want him to go to the Panthers. I feel like he'd fit pretty well. I mean, they do have a good solid decor. I just don't know how much they can afford. I don't want him going to see. I don't really want him going to Boston or Tampa either. So I want him going to the Panthers. I feel like he'll fit pretty well there. I feel like it'd be a fun trade. What about you?
Yeah, I can see him going to the Bruins out of these three teams. And then Lightning second, and then Panthers third. I know that there's been reports that Hannafin's looking for a long-term deal out of this trade. So at least with the Lightning and Bruins, I think they need a little bit more bolstering on defense rather than the Panthers. I think the Panthers have a really solid, good defensive core. But the Flames are going to get a good haul for Hannafin. The only thing that worries me is I think GMs know that Hannafin's not re-signing there no matter what. So I think the return for the Flames could be less because of that. So the Flames might have sat on this trade a little too long. I think, say, if they traded him a month ago, 2 months ago, maybe, they could have got a very, very solid return. But regardless, Hannafin's a top four defenseman. He's going to be adding to any team when it comes to the playoffs in years to come. So whatever team does get Hannafin, he's a fun defenseman to watch. He's good on defense. He's good on offense. Very good two-way defender. So
yeah. Okay. Yeah. What about Markstrom? What do you think? Do you think it's going to happen? Because
no,
I feel like, is a big question mark.
Yeah. And I mean, even Jacob Markstrom, I think that the thing that happened with it is, like I said, Craig Conroy made that trade to the Devils. Supposedly, and this came out today, the ownership of the Flames, which Murray Edwards, who doesn't even live in North America, he was in the UK, which is, don't even get me fucking started about the Calgary Flames ownership, but this guy supposedly shut down the trade. So it's, I don't think he's going to get traded now just because that happened. And then two, he's also arguably one of the best goalies in the league right now. I mean, he's playing lights out for the Flames. He's keeping the Flames playoffs hopes alive. But the biggest thing that was also came out this week was he was not happy at all how that all went down. I don't really know details of it, if they didn't tell him, didn't warn him, didn't any of that. I do know he has a no trade clause in his contract. So that was waived. But yeah, man, I mean, Jacob Markstrom, I don't think he's going to get traded, but does he have a sour taste in his mouth from everything that went down? Yes. I think he's not as big of a fan of the Flames management and the ownership as he was before. So that's kind of a tough pill to swallow because I love the guy. He's an excellent goalie. But I were to guess, he's not going to get traded now.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, I feel like at this point, it's probably too late. And I don't know, as the Flames, I just don't see that unless you get a good return out of it. And I don't know if teams are willing to take that risk. I don't know. I feel like there are some, though, that could use him. I don't know. I don't see them really pushing for it. But next name on here that we saw, Jake Guentzel. We've talked about him before. I've seen some reports, nothing confirmed, but that the Knights are possibly pushing for him. They can afford it with their freaking LTIR shit they do. They could probably afford him, but that would be honestly crazy for the Knights if they're able to get him. That's a good ad right there. I think because the Knights had a good start, but they've kind of cooled off a bit. I don't quite know why, honestly, looking at them. Well, they've had a lot of injuries. Losing your captain's never easy. But shit, they did it last year and then he came back right before playoffs.
Yeah, and their best defenseman, Theodore, just recently came back too. So, yeah, I mean, if Guentzel goes to the Knights, I think that's a big PSA to the rest of the league. Watch out. I mean, the Vegas Knights are dangerous. And not saying they're not dangerous right now, but if they get Guentzel, depending on their turn, because I think Pittsburgh's looking for prospects and picks as well. I think they're kind of heading towards that direction. I don't think they're going to make the playoffs. Who knows what's going to happen with Crosby, Malkin, Letang, Carlson. So it's an interesting scenario in Pittsburgh right now, but the Golden Knights, if they were to get him, man, they're going to look real dangerous. And I think Guentzel would stay there for the long term too. So it's going to be interesting to see what happens with him. I do think he's going to get traded by the deadline. And yeah, my prediction would be, he's either going to go to the Knights. He's going to go to someone in the Western Conference. I think the Kings might be another team or the Canucks. I don't know if the Canucks really have room, but there's going to be some teams that, I mean, he's a very sought after player, but also without Crosby, who knows what he is. So
that's very true. Yeah. I mean, I feel like the Knights have, well, it's tough. I mean, Crosby's one of a kind player and like you can't really compare it, but man, if the Knights get him, like they do it, like, I just hate them so much. I hate them because they're good and like they know what they're doing somehow. I hope their rebuild fucking sucks. I hope that it sucks for them really bad. It's like the Sharks.
I don't know if they'll ever go into a rebuild though. It's the thing. Better. I feel like that's Vegas's just mantra is like, fuck the rebuild. Let's trade for everyone.
I guess. I mean, you just keep getting rid of picks. I guess it'll work. I don't know. We'll see if it works out in the long run, but a little quick shout out for Sharks prospects. Will Smith, I don't know if he's still leading, but he was leading the NCAA in points, which is freaking
awesome. Wow.
He's a rock star. I mean, BC is insane. Especially his line. He plays with, Ryan Leonard. I want to say Cutter Gauthier. No, Gabe Perreault. Them three together are crazy. But yeah, Will Smith's been rocking it in NCAA. I think second is Macklin Celebrini, future Shark, calling it right now. God, if the Blackhawks get him, I'm going to be so pissed. I mean, I know little Bettman writing his little script would be perfect for Chicago, but I mean, if they get two back-to-back first round picks, like, I'm going to be pissed. The Sharks have never gotten first overall pick, so I'm just praying. But they lost to the Wild last night, which was good to see.
It is going to be interesting where Celebrini goes. But I mean, going off that point, I feel like the NCAA is probably, I mean, if you're saying that if it's on the same level as like juniors, I feel like it potentially is rivaling the OHL right now. Cause I know, the WHL, OHL, the Q have all been top three, you know, leagues. A lot of prospects go there before they go to the NHL.
Yeah.
Very, very highly talented players go through those leagues, but good. The NCAA is now
picking up
rivals to those. So, I mean, to see those caliber of players playing in the NCAA, especially, you know, projected first overall draft pick, I think that's a very good sign for USA hockey and college hockey in general. So stoked to have that. And Boise State, you should add fucking hockey, D1 hockey. Please do it.
Do it. What was it? I learned this tonight for my brother, but apparently, so if you go to the CHL, play there, if you get any sort of stipend or anything, like you get a dinner paid for you, rent, anything, that removes all of your, or it messes with your NCAA eligibility. That's why I see a lot of those players, you know, if they play in the OHL, they're going to go back, even if they, like the Sharks picked, Quinn Musty at the end of the first round. He's actually doing well too. He's, I think, at 70 points for 40 or 50 games played.
Damn.
So we got a good pool. We just, in a couple of years, maybe by episode 105, 110, the Sharks will be back in contention. But we'll see how long that takes. If we get Celebrini, I feel like it's a lot sooner, but I don't know. There's so much that goes into a rebuild. So
100%.
We'll see. Last one on here, Adam Henrique. We'll make it quick because we're almost out of time here. But Oilers and Avs, where do you think, those are the teams we've seen pop up, could be other ones, but which one do you think is most likely to get him?
Yeah, I mean, so it's a little bit hard to say, but I feel like the Avalanche could probably get him for a low trading price. I just don't know if he really fits in with the Oilers depth too much, but it would be a good ad for both of those teams. But if I were to guess, it'd probably be the Avalanche if they don't win Gensel or a player like that. I think they could definitely add Adam Henrique. And Adam Henrique is a solid, you know, 40 to 50 point player throughout a season throughout his whole career. So I feel like he is going to be a great player to add for the playoffs. Got a lot of NHL experience. So it's going to be interesting to see where he goes. I know he's also a pretty big name that's been thrown around, but not as big as last year's trade deadline. But you know what? We're stoked for the trade deadline to come up. And I'm very excited to see where these players go, what the Calgary Flames get in return for Hanifin. So all those things.
We'll see on Friday. Honestly, Gally, I think if we get a big enough, I don't know, crazy trade deadline, we should consider hopping on YouTube Live on Saturday morning, just doing a quick, like, I don't know, afternoon 30-minute session, just kind of breaking down everything.
Yeah, 100%. We'll see. I think,
like we said earlier, last year we got pretty blessed with a crazy trade deadline. But the week just started, so who knows? Something could happen tomorrow and we won't even know. We won't get to it because this is coming out Wednesday and we're recording Monday. So anything that happened Tuesday, that's why we missed it. But for everyone listening, appreciate it. If you're at this point, we love you. Let us know in the comments. Niles, I know you're going to be down there. You're going to be firing off in the comments about everything. So anyone else listening, join in with him, get in the conversation. That's what we're trying to do here. We're trying to build a conversation, community of people that love hockey and just love sports in general, cross settle down. But yeah, get down in the comments. We'll get active with you guys. And we'll see you guys next week on Wednesday. Peace.
Peace.
Welcome to another round of Drawing Board or Miro Board. Today, we discuss technical diagramming with systems architect Maya. Let's go. First question. You've spent 10 hours slogging over a sequence diagram that should have taken 5. Drawing Board or Miro Board?
Drawing Board. And if I'm being honest, Miro would probably cut that time down by half. You know, with its AI tools and ready-to-go templates.
Next, your diagrams become so bulky, it's more complex than the solar system. But all it takes is a few clicks and...
It's Miro. I've used those technical shape packs way too many times, and stuff is just digestible on its infinite online canvas.
Now, the final question. Everyone's brought in, but you have to make all these tasks all the way over in Jira. But wait, it's done. Is it...
Miro, easy with its two-way Jira sync. Easy to plot dependencies. Everyone always knows what's up.
And she's done it.
Join over 60 million people creating technical diagrams without workflow glitches. Get your first 3 boards for free at Miro.com. That's M-I-R-O.com.